Describes four qualities of the Lord. One is Klesha Vinashanaya. He relieves everyone from distress. Klesha Vinashanaya. Nirupita Udara Gunahaya. Udara is very magnanimous. So he is having very magnanimous qualities. And Nirupita, this conclusion is already settled. This is proved. Right? It's beyond argument that Lord is having this quality of magnanimity, right? So many magnanimous qualities. Right? And Mano Vacho Vega Purojavaya. Lord is, can go faster than Mano Vacho. Our mind can go to some extent, our words can travel to some extent, but Lord can cross beyond all those limits. He is faster than our mind and words also. Mano Vacho Vega Purojavaya. In Sarvaksha Margair Agatadhane Namaha. So he is not perceivable by our material senses. So these are the four qualities. Now Hemru Prabhu will lead without seeing. Okay, you can see.
Namo Namo Klesha Vinashanaya. एग्री करी दी.
Classes sometimes I do this because they are like simpler verses, they memorize on the spot only. Little bigger verse. Okay, we'll begin. So Radhika Valla Prabhu explained till the 57th verse, where 56. Okay. So Narada Muni Prachin Bharati was engaged in so many fruitive activities, karmakandic activities, and Narada Muni took compassion on him. And how can a descendant of Guru Maharaj be engaged in such karmakandic activities? He should also be engaged in pure devotional service. So that was the intention with which Narada Muni approached Prachin Bharati. And yeah, increase the volume. Then Narada Muni spoke the allegory of Purunjan for 4.5 chapters. And still Prachina Varhi was looks like he didn't take so much. Okay, it was not very clear. Then Narada Muni explained one more analogy, which is deer and tiger analogy. Then after that Narada Muni directly spoke about how the purpose of the Vedas is to search the spiritual world, right? And our aim of life should be to return to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Then Narada Muni or Prachina Varhi was convinced, and in the 56th verse he said, my teachers did not know this confidential knowledge. That's why they didn't tell me. They unnecessarily engaged me in karmakandic activities. They never spoke to me about bhakti yoga, right? So we are the best teacher. So that's how he said. Now 57th verse he said, so my doubts are now cleared. संशयवक्त्र तु मे विप्रम् संचिन्नस्तत्कृतो महान् ऋषयोपि हि मुह्यन्ति यत्र नेन्द्रियवृत्तयः.
माय डियर ब्राह्मण, देयर आर कॉन्ट्रडिक्शन बिटवीन योर इंस्ट्रक्शंस एंड दोज ऑफ माय स्पिरिचुअल टीचर हु एंगेज्ड मी इन फ्रूटिव एक्टिविटीज. I now can understand the distinction between devotional service, knowledge and renunciation. I had some doubts about them, but you have now very kindly dissipated all these doubts. I can now understand how even the great sages are bewildered by the real purpose of life. Of course, there is no question of sense gratification. So Prachinavarhi was saying, my doubts are now cleared. Prabhupada explains the difference between sense gratification in the fruitive activities versus devotional service. Prachinavarhi was engaged in fruitive activities with an intention to go to heavenly planets, right, for a better enjoyment. But he was fortunate enough to come in contact with Narad Muni and take lessons of pure devotional service. So it's very rare. Even so-called Vedic scholars are bewildered. Right? So now my doubts are cleared, but still I have one doubt. Prachinavarhi says, one of my doubts is not yet cleared. So what is that? So based on his current knowledge, Prachinavarhi was asking a question to Narada Muni. So about the path of karma. So in the path of karma, it is said that one's activities, one's future destinations or future lives are dependent on his activities which he has done in the past. Right? I do certain activities, okay, in this life, and my future life is dependent on that. So Prachinavarhi got one question based on his current understanding. Right? What was the question? How can somebody enjoy or suffer the results of certain activities that are committed in a previous body, in a new body? So I have committed certain activities in this body. Now this body is finished. The body with which I have committed certain activities is finished. Right? Now I got a new body. Now you are saying that according to karma, I will have to suffer or enjoy the activities that I have, results of activities that I have committed in a previous body. How is it that possible? So this is the kind of question that he asked from the 58th verse onwards. 58. Karmanyarabhate yena puman ihavihayatam amutranyera dehena
the results of whatever a living entity does in this life are enjoyed in the next life.
So, results of whatever he does in this life are enjoyed in the next life. So, this is the process of transfer of karma from one body to another body. We'll read the next verse and then discuss.
Iti veda vidam vada. Shruyate tatra tatraha karma yat kriyate proktam paroksham na prakashate.
The expert knowers of the Vedic conclusions say that one enjoys or suffers in the result of his past activities. But practically it is seen that the body that performed the work in the last birth is already lost. So how is it possible to enjoy or suffer the reaction of that work in a different body?
So this is the question. So I do certain activities in this body and I am suffering or enjoying the results of those activities in a different body. How is it possible? So in a different body and in a different planet. So this is the process. So why, what is the reason for this kind of question? How can, why not? Why not enjoy or suffer the activities of suffer the results of the activities of one body in a different body? So there is some explanation. Every individual soul has an individual body, right? You have a body and he has another body. So you can commit certain activities in your body, with your body. So he cannot enjoy or suffer the results of his activities that he has committed with his body, right? So this is the current understanding of Prachinavarhi. So bodies, one person's or one body's activities are not enjoyed or suffered by another body or a person. Right? So the body that performed the work in the last birth is already lost. So I have committed certain activity in this body, but this is lost. Right? So this result, how can I carry in a different body? That is the question by Prachinavarhi. Now, as usual, Prabhupada reveals the answer before Narada Muni reveals the answer. So Prabhupada says, gross body, the gross body of a person, which is made of earth, water, fire, air, ether,
So that is finished at the time of death. But his subtle body is not finished. The subtle body stays. So this subtle body carries the soul, the person, and the karma, which is the result of the present body's activities, right, which is already finished now. So the subtle body carries the soul and the karma to a next gross body. So what's happening in the transmigration between one body to another body is the gross bodies are getting lost, but the subtle body is continuing its existence. So this subtle body is carrying the karma and the soul to a next gross body, and that is how he is enjoying or suffering in a different body. So this is the sum and substance of the answer. So this point is elaborately explained by Narada Muni in the next 10 verses. So little exhaustive and very elaborate purports and sections. So I thought of summarizing them and putting them in just few pointers here. Okay. I hope this will help you. So now, from 60th verse onwards, Narada Muni describes the transmigration of soul. Narada Muni's response. So I'll just quickly take you through the 10 verses, right? Then we can discuss the details. So, subtle body exists even after the gross body is lost, right? So that Narada Muni explains first. Example. So, in a dream, a person is dreaming, and when he is lying down, gross body is not acting. It is just resting. It is just lying down. But still, in dream, he sees so many activities, so many things. So, means the person is acting through another body. In the dream, he may become a king. In the dream, he may become a woman. Right? So, means he is acting in a different body. Right? Although his current gross body is just in a standby mode, right, hibernate mode. So similarly, Jiva executes his plans in a next body. So subtle body has certain desires, so the gross body is useful to fulfill some of those desires, and some cannot be fulfilled, so those are sometimes fulfilled in the dream. So whole day you are thinking of eating a rasgulla. Right, you didn't get a chance to eat a rasgulla only. So that day night, because you are thinking so much of rasgulla, you may fulfill the desire of eating rasgulla in the dream. Right? So that is an example of a dream. So similarly, subtle body is desiring. So those desires which are not fulfilled in this current gross body can be fulfilled in a different gross body, which is in the next life. So like that. So now, the previous life's position may be understood by one's consciousness and activities of senses. So now, this is about future. Now, currently you are acting in a different way. Currently you are having certain desires. So, your current personality is very much influenced by your previous desires in a previous life. That also Narada Muni says. So, one can understand what is your past life and past desires depending on what you are doing now. So now, say our Makanlal Prabhu is just arranging projectors and all these things. So he just entered Vidyapeeth 6 months back only. But prior to that, he had lot of knowledge about projectors or sound system, this and that. So we can understand that his knowledge about certain thing based on his current activity. Right? So, now, so that is about past. Extrapolating what is his past activities based on his current activities. Now, sometimes we experience things which we have never experienced only. So which means we have experienced it somewhere else, in some other birth which we may not remember now. So that is the 64th verse. And mental impressions are from the previous body. So now mind is the key point. Right? So mind indicates the past and present, past and future bodies. Currently you are having certain mental disposition. That is because of your previous mental activities. And your current mental activities will indicate your future bodies also. So, mind status can reveal so many facts about the past and future. Now you are contemplating on something, so eventually you will do it. Right? If you act on it, you will do it. So we can predict the future based on your current mental situation. Similarly, when we can understand what is your past situation based on your current mental situation. Right? Mind. mind situation. So mind indicates, because mind stores desires. So the what is seen in the gross body is just the desires of the mind. We'll elaborate on each of this. I'm just giving the titles, condensed level. So yeah, incidents that are experienced in dreams are experienced earlier. So mind exists in various gross bodies and records thoughts according to one's desires. Right? And this is about a general person in general. So for example, now the specific case of a devotee is that he sees material desires in the mind only and avoids transmigration. So the transmigration of any typical person happens because of his mental desires, mind's desires. So newer and newer gross bodies will come. But for a devotee, if he is practicing Krishna consciousness, whatever desires he has accumulated in the past are fulfilled in dreams, or just they are vanquished because of his practice, and then he will avoid any future transmigration into a new gross body. That's how Narada Muni ends this whole section. Yeah, that we will understand in 69th verse. I'm just giving the titles now. So now 60th verse. We'll go into details now. Narada Uvacha. Yenaivarabhate karma. Tenaivamrutatat puman. Bhunkte avyavadhanena. Lingena manasasvayam.
The great sage Narada continued, the living entity act in a gross body in this life. This body is supposed to act by the subtle body, composed of mind, intelligence and ego. After the gross body is lost, the subtle body is still there to enjoy or suffer. Thus there is no change.
So now we need to understand, it doesn't appear to be direct Krishna katha. Transmigration of the soul from one gross body to another gross body, experiencing the activities of one gross body in another gross body, right? So all these kind of things may not be directly seeming to be Krishna Katha, but such questions are there in Bhagavatam, and pure devotees are discussing about that, and we are all studying it. So there is a purpose behind this. So by understanding the technicalities of this transmigration process, one will develop a desire to come out of this transmigration process. Right? So, because of this I am transmigrating so much. So by seeing an object I am carrying an impression of this in my mind. So because of this I am transmigrating from one body to another body. So let me not see that. Let me see Krishna only. Okay, let me engage in some activities which will not generate future gross bodies. So this kind of inspiration we'll get by understanding the technicalities of gross, technicalities of this transmigration process. Right, makes sense? So this is the purpose of this whole discussion. Now here in the 60th verse, Narada Muni is beginning the answer by saying that subtle body exists even after the gross body is lost. So the subtle body, which is composed of mind, buddhi, ahankar, man, buddhi, ahankar. So this is the root of distress and happiness. Right? If we are experiencing happiness or distress, the cause of it is the subtle body. So the other day, Radhishyam Prabhu was nicely explaining in the morning Bhagavatam class. Right? It's not just rubbing two bodies against each other is giving me happiness. It's actually there subtly at an emotional platform. So happiness is one that is that I am experiencing from within, not from through the medium of gross bodies. Right? That's why their focus shifts from sex to raising children, giving them affection. So like that. So actually the source of happiness or distress, material happiness or distress in this context, is subtle body, mind, buddhi and ahankar. So gross body is just instrumental outer covering. So Prabhupada explains like this. And subtle body's activities, whether they are pious or impious, they create another situation for jiva to enjoy or suffer in the next gross body. So again, there is another technical section too. So I thought of putting in for one. So subtle body's activities, whether they are pious or impious, they are creating another gross body for the jiva, and jiva is suffering or enjoying in that new gross body. But the cause of the new gross body is the subtle body. So Prabhupada says that modern scientists and philosophers, because of this mayaya apaharita jnana, their knowledge is stolen away by maya, they are too materialistic, they cannot explain how the gross body is changing. So gross body is changing because of subtle body's activities, like that. So activities of subtle body are reminded and guided by super soul. One more point Prabhupada says. So the 15.15 is there, right? What is that verse? Sarvasachaham hridhanivishto matva smritir jnanam kohamancha. So a person may be desiring certain things in this life, so he may have changed his gross body, but the desires of his subtle body are again reminded to him, right, in a next life through the medium of super soul, like that. Yes, Prabhu. So subtle body is composed of man, buddhi, ahankar. That much is mentioned here. So antakkarana also has one more element of consciousness, right? So actually the definition of subtle body is given in the next 73-74 verse somewhere. So it's a combination of many things. We'll discuss there, right? So it's predominantly, it's having these three elements, right? Then okay, now so how is that? So Narada Muni first began saying that this subtle body, gross body, subtle body exists even after the gross body is lost. That's what Narada Muni said, right? So now to give an example to this, he says we have already experienced the existence of subtle body separate from the gross body. So we already have an experience of this. So that is a link from 60 to 61. That's how Narada Muni gives an example of a person dreaming. So 61.
Shayanam imam utsrujya swasantam purusho yatha karmatmanya ahitam bhukte tadrishene tarenavam. While dreaming, gives up the actual living body. Through the activities of his mind and intelligence, he acts in another body, either as a god or a dog. After giving up this gross body, the living entity enters either an animal body or a demigod's body on this planet or on another planet. He thus enjoys the results of the actions of his past life.
So here Narada Muni to illustrate this point that subtle body is existing separately with the gross body, along with the gross body. To illustrate this point, he gives an example of a dream. Right? In a dream, a jiva acts through another body. Right? His gross body, although lying down on the bed, he is experiencing so many things, he is doing so many activities through the medium of another body. Right? In the dream. So the dreamy state, Prabhupada explains. So gross body is resting. So the machinery is working. So gross body, it is in a hibernate mode, but it's functioning, but it's not active now. So man goes into the dream. So he does certain activities and then he returns back to the current gross body and he forgets the dream. Right? So subtle body is active when we are discussing about a dream, although the gross body is not acting. So the subtle body is acting through another body, and after the gross body becomes active, he is forgetting the activities of that body. Right? So that is a dreamy state. So transmigration is also like that. So once somebody gets the new gross body, he forgets the old gross body. Right? So the root question that Prachin Barhi is asking is, how can I enjoy or suffer the results of the activities I have done in a different body? So that is the question. So subtle body creates an atmosphere with desires and ambitions, and all the activities of living entity in subtle body are called illusory because they are not permanent purposes. So because whatever he has seen in the dream is not permanent, because as soon as he is getting a new body, as soon as he is in a wake up state, he wakes up, he is forgetting the activities in the dream. So similarly, when the new gross body is happening, when the soul enters a new gross body, he forgot the activities of the previous gross body. Right? Some impressions may stay and then he is fulfilling certain desires, but the details of the previous gross body are lost. So these are all temporary. Right? That's why they are illusory. So they are not permanent. Like that. So we need to understand this. A layman may be seeing so many dreams, but he will not understand this concept. Dream means my subtle body is acting. Right? So my subtle body is storing so many desires. My subtle body has a big stockpile of desires. Because my gross body is not cooperating with the subtle body in fulfilling those desires, I am indirectly fulfilling them in a dream. So this kind of concept Narada Muni has to explain. He will not understand on his own. So a child may go may travel in a train, and then he sees many objects from the train window, and then he understands them according to his consciousness, his understanding, his knowledge, right? But if he inquires from a father, then he will know them in the right perspective, right? So similarly, we cannot depend only on our experience. Actually, in my childhood, when I was a small kid, I remember when the train is moving, I would just put my hand and then just push the train. I would literally think that train is moving because I am pushing. Right? I would actually think that. So now when that sound comes, what I heard from my father is when the sound, that train gives that siren, then the train actually moves. So after siren also train is not moving. So then I would say I will move it, and then I would push the train, and then train moves, and I would actually think that I am moving. So like that. So a conditioned soul may understand many things, and he may have so many experiences in life, but unless they are explained in proper perspective by a devotee like Narada Muni, he cannot understand things, because he is always influenced by these four defects. So the simple sense behind the dream, Narada Muni is explaining very in great detail now. So some more points in the purport. Prabhupada says, liberation is getting out of the clutches of subtle body, not gross body, subtle body. So when someone dies, still his subtle body would be the reason for him to get another gross body. Right? But to stop this transmigration process means to get out of the clutches of subtle body. So soul is there, it is covered by one covering, which is subtle body, and this is covered by another covering, which is gross body. At the time of death, this outer covering is gone, but inner covering is still there. So liberation means to remove that inner covering also, and the pure spirit soul is engaged in service of Krishna. So that is getting out of clutches of subtle body. And how will that happen? When someone is, when the mind is educated in Krishna consciousness, then he will be transferring to the spiritual world, and no more transmigration from one gross body to another gross body. Right? And this change of consciousness happens by the knowledge of parampara. So Prabhupada very nicely brings that point. So in this whole series of purports, many times Prabhupada gives the formulas to come out of this transmigration process as he is describing the process of transmigration. So Prabhupada says, important point, the change of subtle body is more important than the change of gross body. You are trying to understand the technicalities of transmigration of soul, okay, which involves from changes between one gross body to another gross body. But what is more important is the change of the subtle body, which will stop the transmigration process only. Right? So people, they do so many activities in this life, although they believe in the science of transmigration, right? So if I die now, I will get a new body in the future. So their whole focus is on how will I get a better body in future, better gross body in future, so that I can better enjoy. The whole karmakandic process is, I do so many pious activities so that I will go to heavenly planets and then enjoy there. So he is transferring from one gross body to another gross body for a better facility of enjoyment. But what is required is, don't aspire for change of gross body only. Aspire for the change of subtle body. And come out of the clutches of the subtle body, material subtle body. Okay, transform your subtle body into spiritual. Then you will go to a spiritual world. So no more change of gross bodies only. Right? So Prabhupada gives this thing. He gives the example of Ambarish Maharaj and says, one should engage one's mind, speech, ears, etc. in Krishna consciousness. Then he will be elevated to spiritual platform. Then at the time of death, so mind and intelligence and ego are purified. They are no more contaminated. Because the whole life activities which are centered around devotional service, at the time of death, he will not get another gross body. His senses become spiritual. Then he attains a Sachidananda form, not another gross body, which is made of earth, water, fire, or ether. Correct, correct. What I was saying is, remove the covering of subtle body, which means actually that, see, one cannot be without a subtle body or gross body, right? So they have to be spiritualized, right? So there is no difference between soul and the body in the spiritual world, right? It's pure spirit, it's totally dedicated in Krishna service only. So spiritualizing all these elements, that's the whole thing. So it is said in the fifth canto that quoting that CC verse, Diksha Kale Sishyakare Atma Samarpan, right? At the time of initiation, the disciple's body will become spiritual. So the person who is going to get initiation, his body will be spiritualized. Right? So Prabhupada very nicely explains that, how can he body be spiritual? We are seeing the same body and he is having the same needs. So Prabhupada nicely explains that by taking initiation from a spiritual master and following the instructions of spiritual master, his mind, intelligence will be purified. Right? Mind will be purified from sense gratificatory propensities, and intelligence will be purified by study of Shastra and hearing instruction from spiritual master. Then his ego will be transformed into, his false ego is transformed into real ego, and he identifies himself as a servant of Krishna. Right? So the gross body is just an instrumental covering through which the subtle body acts. When there is a transformation in the subtle body, that influence is there on the gross body also. So although he is made of a body which is made of earth, water, air, fire, ether, all this, although he is having a gross body, because his subtle body is spiritualized, he is acting, his gross body is also acting on a spiritual platform. So that's why his body is spiritualized. Right? And Prabhupada says it's just a matter of fact, just few years ahead. Then he will, at the time of death, he will get a spiritual body only. So he will be relieved from this process of gross body. That is the point of initiation. That bell metal, mercury, that example. Oh no, that is Brahmana thing. Okay, that is the spiritualizing the body. Then, next verse, 62.
Mamayite manasa yattat yadyat asa aham iti bruvan grihniyattat puman radham karmayena punarbhava.
The living entity labors under the bodily conception of I am this, I am that. My duty is this, and therefore I shall do it. These are all mental impressions, and all these activities are temporary. Nonetheless, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity gets a chance to execute all his mental concoctions. Thus, he gets another body.
So, here he says, living entity gets a chance to execute his plans in the next body by Lord's grace. So, because subtle body is desiring so many things, and in this gross body he could not fulfill them, because subtle body is transferred to another gross body, he fulfills there those things. So some people who are very sinful, they get the body of ghosts. Yesterday Giriraj Maharaj was also explaining. They just capture one person's gross body and then try to fulfill their desires through that gross body. Okay, subtle, ghosts are having only subtle body, no gross body, and the subtle body is having so many desires, and there is no medium for them to fulfill their desires. Like that. In this unveiling his lotus feet, Gurudev Prabhu explains. So art of Krishna consciousness, just now, it's related to the current discussion. Art of Krishna consciousness is to engage the subtle body in Krishna's service. Like that. Now, there is a, coming to our initiation that point only, there is a relation between the activities of subtle body and gross body. It's actually activities of Krishna consciousness are to engage the subtle body mainly. But in our neophyte sadhaka stage, we cannot engage our subtle body nicely in Krishna's service. So we have to depend on gross body. Just example, if we are given just one full day off to just chant arounds. Okay, today no Vidyapeeth class, no exam, no sloka recitation, okay, no self-study, nothing. You just chant 192 rounds today. It's extremely difficult, right, to engage the mind in hearing the holy name. Right? So we need an engagement of the body. So Bhujan Prabhu says, in the early stages of learning to practice devotional service, all our activities are centered in engaging the gross body. Right? Yet, aspiring devotees should know that ultimately we have to shift our focus to subtle body. Just mere engagement, physical engagement, has to be transformed into deep mental, intellectual and emotional involvement in devotional service. Right? So, right now we are acting based on the instructions of spiritual master, instructions of our authorities. Right? So our subtle body is not, the sadhaka subtle body is not completely inspired to offer devotional service to Krishna. Right? So body is, gross body is engaged under the instruction by external superimposition. So when the external superimposition is not there, still if one is performing devotional service, then he is advanced devotee. Then he is on a spontaneous platform. So then there is a unity between their gross and subtle bodies. Now our gross body may be doing so many devotional activities, but subtle body is not sufficiently doing that many devotional activities. So the connection between these two is not so much in a sadhaka stage. So now when he is elevated, right, when he is advanced so much, his external gross bodily activities are just a manifestation of his internal mood of the subtle body. Right? Subtle body is desiring to serve Krishna so much, and he is just acting through the gross body. Why a pure devotee dies, leaves his gross body? Because it is explained once that a pure devotee, his gross body, right, is no more, when he becomes old, he's no more in a position to express the desires of his subtle body, express the desires for serving Krishna. Right, his subtle body is having so many desires to serve Krishna, and gross body is no more cooperating to express those desires. Then pure devotee thinks, let's leave this, I'll go to another gross body and then serve Krishna nicely. This is another explanation given. So at our sadhaka stage, taking care of gross body is very important. Because gross body is the medium through which we are expressing our devotion to Krishna at our neophyte sadhaka stage. Right? That's why taking care of health is very important. If our health breaks down, if our gross body is not functioning properly, and subtle body is anyways not having so much devotion, so mind and intelligence cannot engage so much in service. So then it's very difficult for the sadhaka to advance. So take care of gross body, take care of health,
so that he can practice sadhana nicely. Like that. So here Narada Muni is saying, living entity gets an opportunity to execute his plans in a next body. You know, current body he could not fulfill, next body he will fulfill. And that is also by Lord's grace only. Only by Lord's grace. So Prabhupada in this purport, he explains the activities in bodily conception. So many activities are there. As long as one is absorbed in bodily conception, his activities are performed on the platform. This is not very difficult to understand. So plans to make this body comfortable are carried in the subtle body after the destruction of gross body. So bodily, absorbed in bodily conception means he is thinking, how can I make my body comfortable, more and more comfortable. Right? He was thinking like that. So after the gross body is destroyed, his plans are carried by the subtle body. So karma means the aggregate of fruitive activities conducted to make this body comfortable or uncomfortable. Right? So many activities we perform in bodily conception to make this body comfortable or uncomfortable. So the aggregate of all those activities is the karma that we carry with along with the subtle body. For example, when somebody is dying and he has desire to live more, why? To execute his plans in bodily conception. So he will get a chance to execute them in future. That is also by Lord's grace, because he reminds the soul of his old desires, old plans for enjoyment, right, in the next birth, so that he can continue. Actually, he plans to make the body more comfortable only, but some of his plans will end up in making it uncomfortable. So uncomfortable is the actual word that Prabhupada includes.
Due to ignorance.
So uncomfortable. He'll end up making more uncomforts only to the body. So Prabhupada summarizes in one sentence, situated on vehicle given by material nature and reminded by super soul in the heart, the living entity struggles all over the universe to fulfill his plans, taking temporary designations under modes. See, in the whole sentence, what belongs to the living entity is his plans only. Rest everything is orchestrated by the Supreme Lord. Vehicle of material nature. Material whose nature? Krishna's nature. Material nature is coming from Krishna. Super soul, expansion of Krishna. Right? And all over the universe. Universe is created by Krishna. Right? Under modes. Modes are also coming from Krishna only. Right? This whole network is created by Krishna only. Why? To fulfill this fellow's plans. Only plans belong to the living entity. Rest all is orchestrated by Krishna. You exercise, try to execute your plans for sense enjoyment and see whether you can enjoy or not. So finally, one day, if you realize that I cannot get happiness by my own endeavors, right, then you will come to me, then I will feed you. That child example. Child trying to cook, right, for ignoring the mother. That. So that is about 62nd verse, purport, 63.
Yathanumiyate chittam उभयैर इंद्रिये हितैः एवं प्राग्देहजं कर्म लक्ष्यते चित्तवृत्तिभिः.
One can understand the mental or conscious position of a living entity by the activities of two kinds of senses, the knowledge acquiring senses and the executive senses. Similarly, by the mental condition or the consciousness of a person, one can understand his position in the previous life.
So, one more. He is elaborating more. So, by your consciousness and your current activities of the senses, because current activities of the senses are dependent on your mental condition or consciousness only. Right? So, by seeing this, we can understand what is your previous life. So, mental states are reflected by actions of gross body and senses. Right? Face is the index of mind, they say. Just in a face, we wonder so much. In one face, there are just two eyes, one nose, some lips, two lips, right, eyebrows. Within this few set of these things, hundreds of emotions a person can express. For example, a drama is being performed. So we can understand the mood of the performer by the drama artist by seeing the face. See how wonderful Lord's creation is. Even a small child also can understand. Say maybe the 2-3 year old baby is there. You go and show an expression on his face. If you are angry, he will cry. If you are happy, he will also smile. Even he can understand the expressions on this face. Sometimes I wonder, what he is seeing is just two eyes and lips and nose only, and ears only. Face. Just by small, slightest changes in curves, how much impact it is making on a small child. Even animals also can understand. So it's very nice. Face is the index of mind. So the mental states are reflected through the activities of the gross body or senses. So mind's activities are thinking, feeling, willing, right? So thinking, feeling are internal, right? But the willing part is manifested in bodily activities, right? The willing portion of the mind manifests in bodily activities. So now Prabhupada gives this line. So past activities are done in a past body that will decide the condition of current mind, and this condition of current mind decides the activities of the current body. Right? Somebody is acting, we can understand that is because of his condition of mind. Why that condition of mind is there? Because of his past activities. So like that, the living entity is captured in a whirlpool of so many such mental concoctions and bodily activities. So now Prabhupada gives nice examples. So mind plus one sense. So when the mind is associated with certain particular sense, then there is a certain manifestation. Right? These are some examples. So for a ordinary person, so mind is having certain emotion, say angry. Mind is angry. So when that anger is manifested in tongue, it will come as some galis. Okay? Some scoldings, right? Harsh words. It is manifested in hand, it comes as fighting or as slapping somebody. When it manifests in leg, you'll end up kicking somebody. So that is the manifestation of mind's anger in certain sense. When it comes to devotee, his devotional emotions in the mind are manifested in his tongue by chanting Hare Krishna, hands by raising in ecstasy, right? And he'll do with raising. Then legs, he'll dance. Ashtasatvik Vikar. So Prabhupada explains like that. So the mind's emotion is manifested in certain sense. Like that. So mind is the boss of all the senses. Because by the dictations of the mind only, certain activity is manifested in the senses. Now 64th verse.
Nanubhutam kvachanena Dehena drishtamashritam Ashrutam kadachit upalabheta yadrupam yadrigatmani.
Sometimes we suddenly experience something that was never experienced in the present body by sight or hearing. Sometimes we see such things suddenly in dreams.
So experiencing the unexperienced. Many times we experience things which are not, which we don't remember at all in the whole life. So 30 years of my life passed, and in 30 years I have never seen this only. Means before 30 years you were in some other body and you have seen it there. Like that.
The impression in the stockpile of mind suddenly expresses itself in a dream or a thought.
Right? We see things in a dream, or some things manifest in our thoughts also. Right?
So mind is a storehouse of various thoughts and experiences undergone during our past lives. Right? It's the storehouse.
So then the chain of continuation from one life to another will just happen. Past life, present life and future life. Like that. Because of these things. Prabhupada gives some 4 examples here. So somebody may see flying in dreams. Right? Like an angel, he just flies in the dreams. Right? Because he must have been a demigod from Siddhaloka or somewhere in the previous life. Or he must be an astronaut in a previous life. That's why he is just trying to fly in the dream. Right? And fermentation in the depths of the water manifests as bubbles on the surface. Right? So how can we see bubbles on the surface of the water? Something is happening within the waters. So similarly, there is some reason behind this dream. There is some reason behind this thought. So like that. Then, dreaming on a never seen place. Then there are born poets, scientists and devotees. Right? So some small child, some years back I was hearing, maybe some 3-4 year old kid. See, the kid was saying, girl, small girl, she was saying all the states and the capital cities of the states all over the world at the age of 3. Right? That knowledge was there in some previous life. Like that. Knowledge, whatever. So many things he is acquiring in the settled body. So that will be manifested in a new gross body. See, intelligence. Mind, buddhi, ahankar. Right? So buddhi, intelligence part, it will acquire certain knowledge. Right? That will also manifest in. So some people are expert managers. Although somebody is, two people are given same kind of training since childhood. Right? Still he has certain skills set. So now Prabhupada interestingly, this is about normal transmigration. Prabhupada gives an interesting detail about the transmigration in Krishna consciousness. If one thinks of Krishna constantly, no more gross body, no more gross material body, he will go back to Godhead. If he fails, then he will continue in the next life. Simple. This is how transmigration in Krishna consciousness happens. Like that. There is no loss. Neha Vikramana Susti. Then 65. Tenasya tadrisham raja lingino deha sambhavam srodhasanubhavuttura srodhastavanubhutortho namanas prashtumarhati.
Therefore, my dear king, the living entity who was a subtle mental covering develops all kind of thoughts and images because of his previous body. Take this form, me as certain. There is no possibility of concocting anything mentally without having perceived it in the previous body.
So, mental impressions are from the previous body. So, without having certain experience somewhere, one cannot just all of a sudden out of the blue just manifest certain quality, right, or certain action. So these are all stored in the mind. So mind is the storehouse of past desires and it is the source of different kinds of bodies. Then the purified mind, right, if it is purified by Krishna consciousness, it will enable one to get a spiritual body full of Krishna consciousness and he will get the original form, right, instead of getting a new gross body, material body, he will get his original form, Swarupa. Jivayara Swarupa hai Krishnayara Nityadas. He will get his Swarupa. So Prabhupada quotes so many references. Ihayasya Harardase. A person who is practicing devotion service in this life is already a liberated soul. So Mamchayo Avyabhicharena. And devotee is above three modes. And Jnana Karmadhi Anavartam. A devotee is beyond all these things. So that's about. So even after saying all this, Narada Muni in the 66th verse, he would give blessings to our Prachinabari. Right? So let there be all good fortune to you. So may you not desire any more sense gratification in a future body. So with that intention he is saying the 66th verse.
Manayeva Manushyasya Purvarupani samsati Bhavishyatascha bhadramte Tathaivana bhavishyata. O King, all good fortune unto you. The mind is the cause of the living entities attaining a certain type of body in accordance with his association with material nature. According to one's mental composition, one can understand what the living entity was in his past life, as well as what kind of body he will have in the future. Does the mind indicate the past and future bodies?
So the mind indicates the past and future bodies. So Prabhupada, the theme of Prabhupada's purport is the best course is to accept devotional service. Right? So urdham gacchanti sattvastha, that is there. Some people go to the heavenly planet, some go to the hellish planet, some will just remain in the earthly planet only. So all these are there, but the best course is to accept devotional service and then go beyond this material world only. So sufferings and enjoyments of material life take place on the chariot of mind, manoratya. So ishyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvai gunaistutta samahiti rita hara abhaktasya kuto mahadguna manorathe nasati davato bahi. Prabhupada quotes this verse that all the activities of a materialistic person, although and all his qualities, although they are appearing to be good, all this will not save one from birth and death. That will not save one from this transmigration cycle. Because they are all manoratha, mental concoctions. Right, like that. So, what is the conclusion that we need to understand? One should not desire anything for one's own sense gratification. If he is desiring, then he will end up in some other place to fulfill those desires. Material desires. Right? So, anya abhilashita sunyam. One has to be free from any material desires. So, that's how Prabhupada concludes. And if without any such material desires, without any philosophical speculations, if he just does devotional service favorably, then he will go back to Godhead, and that would be the highest perfection that one can attain in this human life. Right? So, if, as long as you have desires and plans for sense gratification, one cannot be relieved from this transmigration cycle, birth and death cycle. That is the whole theme of purpose. So, mind indicates past and future bodies. So, now train the mind now in Krishna consciousness, in pure devotional service, so that it will not give rise to another gross world. Okay, and it will go to spiritual world, like that. 67th verse.
Adrishtam ashrutam chatra kvachin manasi drishyate yata tathanu mantavyam deshakala kriyashrayam. Sometimes in a dream we see something very never experienced or heard of in this life.
Adrishtam ashrutam chatra.
But all these incidents have been experienced at different times, in different places and in different conditions.
Even if we see so many things in the dream, understand, all these impressions are carried in the subtle body since long time. So Prabhupada explains the concept of dream in the purport. So the concept of dream is combination of images. Right? So we see many things separately. For example, I see this marble polishing here. And I am seeing the wooden flooring in the temple hall. Right? I carry certain impression here and I carry certain impression there. Now in my dream I may see bamboo that tiles are there, they are being polished. Bamboo tiles are not polished there. But still I will, in my dream I will see that bamboo tile is being polished. Because I have seen the polishing of some marble here. Right? So now these marble tiles, they are placed and there is some kind of mixture between them. Not heavy girls. Now you are, this is dream. So when two wooden planks are just joined, that is joined with a fevicol. Right? When two marble tiles are joined, that is joined with some mixture of white cement and other things. Now because you see two different concepts, in your dream you will experience as if two marble tiles are joined with a fevicol. Getting right? So this is the concept of dream. You see two separate things and then combine them, combining these images is the dream. Like that. So Prabhupada gives the examples of gold. You see gold separately, you see mountain separately. In the dream you will see a golden mountain. So that is the concept of dream. Okay, next. 68th verse.
Sarve karmanu rodhena manasindriya gochara ayanti bahusho yanti sarve samanasojana. The mind of the living entity continues to exist in various gross bodies, and according to one's desires for sense gratification, the mind records different thoughts. In the mind, these appear together in different combinations. Therefore, these images sometimes appear as things never seen or never heard before.
So mind, the same mind is existing in different gross bodies and recording different thoughts according to one's desire. Right?
So Prabhupada says, unless one is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, material desires will come and go.
Right? The solution to come out of this transmigration process is to perform devotional service. Otherwise the transmigration will continue because of this material desires. Now, the reason for transmigration, Prabhupada says, sensual images recorded in mind in a chronological order and they become manifest one after another. Sometimes all of them manifest at a point. Right? So all these images are recorded there and then they are being manifested. So the mind plans material enjoyment and gross body serves as an instrument to realize those desires and plans. Gross body is an instrument. So mind as a subtle body is the authority, right? And gross body is just an instrument to fulfill those plans. And this is the reason for transmigration. Right? So now there is a transmigration escape formula Prabhupada gives in the purport. That is, follow the parampara. Stick to the principle. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. So stick to the principle of carrying out the orders of Guru and not desire anything else. Mind will gradually be trained to desire nothing but the service of Krishna. So such training is the perfection of life. So, like that. So, reason for transmigration is material desires in the mind. So how to escape from transmigration? Don't desire anything except service given by Guru. Simple, right? 69.
Sattvaika nishte manasi Bhagavat Parshavartini Tamaschandramasi Dvetam Uparajya Vabhasate.
Krishna consciousness means constantly associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in such a mental state that the devotee can observe the cosmic manifestation exactly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead does. Such observation is not always possible, but it becomes manifest exactly like the dark planet known as Rahu, which is observed in the presence of the full moon.
So here Prabhupada is saying, Narada Muni is saying, be in a mental state which enables you to have Krishna's vision. The way Krishna sees this universe, you should be able to see. So your mind should be like that. Shastra Chakshu. So desires become visible one after another. Sometimes the whole stockpile can be visible at one time. Right, we just discussed. But for a devotee, karmani nirdahati kintuce bhakti bhajan. When a person is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, his stockpile of material desires is minimized and no longer fructify in the form of gross bodies and finish all future transmigrations. Instead, it becomes visible on the mental platform by the grace of Supreme Personality of Godhead. How? You see, Yashoda has seen, this example is given, Yashoda has seen all the universes in Krishna's mouth by the will of Krishna. So similarly, a devotee, he can see all the impressions that he has stored in the mind, all his desires, he will see somewhere in a dream and he will be done with it. Right? The impressions that he is carrying in the mind will no longer fructify into future gross bodies, but they will be finished at the mind level only. Right? By seeing in a dream or something like that. So, Prabhupada says, because a Krishna conscious person does not have to accept future gross bodies, his recorded desires are fulfilled in some dream. Like that.
So sometimes we see things in a dream which are never experienced, like that.
So suffering is suffering which are superimposed on cross body. Instead of that, they are imposed on subtle body and the person is fired, is it?
It's something like, we can understand like that. Fulfill desires in a dream. For example, you may, not you, okay, somebody, so some practicing devotee may be desiring to, okay, watch a movie or something like that, right? But he is sticking to the process, but he will not be going there, right? He should not be doing it, right? Somewhere in a mind, he will just have some experience of watching a movie, and then after coming out of the dream, then he will just regret, because I had this dream, Krishna gave me this kind of dream, because I had this kind of desire. So he's done with it, right? Whatever little lingering is there somewhere in the mind, he just is done on the mental platform only. It is just finished. Before it manifests on the gross level, it is finished at the mental platform.
Activity and reaction to subtle activity or mental activity, they are different?
Reaction to?
Reaction what we get, like we are committing or else we are thinking in mind. So
actually in Kali Yuga, whatever good things we desire in the mind, we will get benefit of it. Whatever bad things that we are contemplating in the mind, we will not get the reaction for it. However, if we constantly contemplate on such a negative thought, it may eventually manifest in the form of action. Then he will get the reaction. Right? It's different. To act on subtle level and to act on gross level are different. But to act on having things on subtle level will eventually manifest on the gross level if it is a continued thought, a repeated thought. But devotional service performed in mind and with senses are both beneficial. Right?
69 is done, right? Yeah, there is an explanation about this Rahu planet. This example is given, right, by Sukadeva Goswami, by Narad Muni.
Rahu planet is ordinarily not seen, but in moonlight sometimes it is visible, right?
So similarly, devotee can also perceive Krishna's vision.
Okay, perceive the world the way Krishna perceives by Lord's will, just like Yashoda Mai perceived the universe in Krishna's mouth. So there are like three comparisons, right? Yashoda Mai has seen universe in Krishna's mouth, although ordinarily it is difficult to see. So similarly, Rahu planet is ordinarily difficult to see, but it is visible sometimes in moonlight. So comparing with these two is a devotee seeing the world the way Krishna sees, okay, by Krishna's mercy.
So that's about the first section. So,
this is, in essence, this is what Narad Muni told us so far. So subtle body exists after the gross body is lost, 60th verse. Then 61, he gives the example of a person dreaming. Then 62, he says, Jiva executes his plans in the next body. Then previous life's position can be understood by current consciousness and current activities. So one experiences things that are never experienced in a previous life, in the current life, right, which is in dream or something else. Then mental impressions are from the previous body, both are connected only. So mind indicates past and future bodies. Okay. So this we have seen. This is the flow of the whole thing. Now, Narada Muni, he explained all these things with the example of a dream, person dreaming. Right, the first example he gave. Now the second example he gives. We'll see this overview later. So Narada Muni is basically from in the next 10 verses, he is further elaborating on the mind's role in the soul's transmigration. So 70th verse we'll read.
Naham mameti bhavoyam.
Naham mameti bhavoyam.
Purushe vyavadhiyate.
Purushe vyavadhiyate.
Yavat buddhi manokshatta. Gunabhyuho yanadhiman.
As long as the three exist, there exists the subtle mental body composed of intelligence, mind, senses, sense objects and reactions of the material qualities. The consciousness of false identification and its relative objective, the gross body, exists as well.
So false identification is existing with the subtle body, right? So here nicely it is said, material body is composed of intelligence, mind, senses, sense objects and the reactions of material qualities, etc. Right? So this main thing is false identification, that is cause of the subtle body. Subtle body is the cause of that false identification. So desires in a subtle body cannot be fulfilled without a gross body, if you have seen. So gross body acts as an instrument for the fulfillment of the desires of the subtle body. So unless there is a subtle body, unless there is a gross body, the desires of the subtle body cannot be fulfilled. Example of ghosts we have seen. So false identity, without gross body, living entity cannot factually act in modes, cannot act in modes. So false identification continues because such consciousness can be extended from time immemorial. So the false identification is there, identifying with one's own body, gross body or subtle body, that is there since time immemorial.
So with the three modes, they exactly act on subtle body only?
Three modes,
yes.
They will act on subtle body.
And then
subtle body acts through the gross body. So when one transfers in the spiritual world, by virtue of understanding Krishna consciousness, the actions and reactions of both gross and subtle bodies no longer bother the super soul. So oftentimes Prabhupada reminds us what we need to do to come out of the transmigration process. So now this false identification is existing because of the subtle body that we understood from the 70th verse. In the 71st verse he says, that false identification is lost. Because of subtle body, we have hidden false identification. That will be lost sometimes. Okay? When the cases are described in the 71st verse.
Shuktimurchopattapeshu pranayana vighatana nehateham iti jnanam मृत्यु प्रद्वरयोरपि.
When the living entity is in deep sleep, when he faints, when there is some great shock on account of severe loss, at the time of death, or when the body temperature is very high, the movement of the life air is arrested. At that time, the living entity loses knowledge of identifying the body with the self.
Okay, 70th verse is describing there is a false identification because of the subtle body. Now that identification is lost in sleep, shock, death, some danger, fever, all this. So we can forget the identities of our identity with the material body or material bodies, either gross or subtle. We will fail to identify with those bodies when there is sleep or shock or whatever. Fever, the prajvara, he says, no? When the body temperature is so high. When there is very high temperature, 107 degrees. So there are degrees of fever, right? Depending on the degree of fever, your degree of identification will be decided. So, now understand, very interesting here. So the subtle body loses its identification with the gross body when it is dreaming or in deep sleep, right? So the identities with the subtle body or gross body itself, they can be lost, right, from time to time under certain conditions, which means that they are not eternal identities. If they are eternal identities, how can they be lost? Right? They may be forgotten for a while, but they cannot be lost. Like that. So these are all upadis. Our Bhurjan Prabhu explains that the subtle body loses its identification with the gross body indicates that the soul's identification with the gross body is therefore neither fixed nor eternal. One of the goals of Krishna consciousness is to break the connection between the soul and both gross and subtle bodies. So, and pure devotional service will give that break. Now, how do we forget the identities of material bodies, either gross or subtle? So, a person, when he is sleeping or when he is waking up, so there is certain identification. When he is waking up, he is identifying himself with the material body, with the gross body. When he is sleeping, he may forget his connection with the gross body, but he is active in the subtle body. When he is deep sleeping, sleeping very deeply, no dreams also, then he will forget his connection with the gross body and subtle body both. Right? So that's how we can understand that our identities with the subtle body and gross body are not permanent. They are temporary. Right? We can forget them. Okay? From time to time. So this sleep state and waking up state, both are creations of illusory energy only. Both are maya only. Right? Living entity has no connection with either of them, but forgets one state while being in the other. Example, surgical operation. Somebody is doing some surgical operation. So, endoscopy, colonoscopy, right? They give some anesthesia and then do all this. Okay? So now, while taking your blood sample, then you are conscious of your gross body and you will feel the pain. But when doing colonoscopy, like many things are just inserted in your body, you don't feel them. Because you are not conscious of the gross body. Right? Or even subtle body. So, these are all temporary identities. So, one can forget them. So, forgetting the identities of material bodies, gross and subtle, is explained. Then, one has to get trained in terms of acting through subtle, spiritual body. In terms of spiritual body. So because of our ignorance of spiritual body, we jump from one false platform to another. In a dream state, I am thinking I am a king. In a wake up state, I am thinking I am a brahmachari. Okay, or a beggar, something like that. So both are creations of illusory energy only. You are neither. You are neither beggar, you are neither king. You are just servant of Krishna. Right? So, but we are thinking that we are so and so in different states. So we are just jumping from different identities, this identity to that identity, because of the ignorance of our spiritual body. Because of our ignorance of spiritual body, we are identifying ourselves with the material bodies, either gross or subtle, and thinking that we are certain, we are having certain identities. So, one should act sometimes in relation to the gross body and sometimes in relation to the subtle body. We act like that. So if by Krishna's grace we act in our spiritual body, we can transcend both gross and subtle bodies. How does that happen? By engaging our senses in Krishna's service. Krishna-kena, Hrishikesh-kena. That's very devotional service. 72.
Yes, Prabhu.
Deep sleep, no dreams. Yeah.
Destruction of subtle bodies is there.
And when you wake up again a subtle body is created. How is it?
When you wake up again, subtle body becomes active.
Active.
We will remember our previous impressions.
I write the word destruction and creation in this figure. And when we sleep, then subtle body is distracted. And when we wake up,
it's activated.
Created.
Created or activated, whatever. You mean to say like new subtle body is created. You know, subtle body is always existing with the soul, right? And it's just experiencing a transformation of different flavors, different tastes, different desires. Subtle body is always with the soul even while the transmigration. How can it be lost when he gets up from dream? 72nd verse. गर्भे बाल्ये पौष्कल्याद् एकादश विधं तदा लिंगं न दृश्यते यूनः कुह्वां चंद्रमसो यथा.
When one is a youth, all the 10 senses and the mind are completely visible. However, in the mother's womb,
For in the boyhood stage, the sense organs and the mind remain covered, just as the full moon is covered by the darkness of the dark moonlight.
Hmm. Okay. So now here different senses are mentioned. Senses means the state of different senses. State of senses in different bodily conditions. That's how we say. Undeveloped senses are there. A small baby is there. Say 1 year old, 2 year old baby is there. Even if the baby sees a most beautiful woman, right, on the planet, no agitation in his sense, in the baby's senses at all. Even if the baby sees the most delicious food item, no agitation in senses. Even if he sees like a mobile phone there, he just put in the mouth, right? Even if he sees a wire, he puts in the mouth. Even if mud is there, he will put in the mouth. There is no conception. The senses are not developed, right? These are undeveloped senses. So when the senses are not developed, then there is no disturbance on the sense objects. Although one is very closely connected with the sense object, still senses are not agitated because of undeveloped senses, right? Chatush Kumaras, four Kumaras are like very special category. Right? They are born with Vasudeva Parayana. They are born in the consciousness of Vasudeva Parayana. Consciousness. They are born from Brahmaji's contemplation on Vasudeva. Right? Their birth is from Krishna. Right? Their birth is from Brahma also. That's why they are Vaikrita. Their birth is from Krishna also. That's why they are Prakrita. Yeah, out of their extreme caution towards the sensual activities, they prefer to stay like that only. Even a great yogi can sometimes be distracted when he comes in contact with sensual objects. So they prefer, they have that knowledge even at that age. So they prefer not to grow anything, not to grow more. That's reconfirming this. They prefer to have undeveloped senses as 5-year-old boys only, so that they will not be disturbed by sense objects. When they are disturbed? Yes, see, Brahma got agitated and Shiva took birth. But they simply rejected the order. They simply rejected the order. I mean, we can't do this. So we want to play safe. We don't want to enter a family life. So now, in a dark moon night, the moon is still there. It's not that moon is dead, or moon is there. Moon is just not visible to us, but moon is there. So although, that's why that is the main point here. Although the senses are not developed, that's why they are not agitated. They are not disturbed when they come in contact with sense objects. But the potency to get agitated by sense object is still there. It is not developed yet. It's just a matter of time. When the 5-year-old boy becomes a 15-year-old boy, then he will get agitated. Right? It's just a matter of time.
He is not agitated, he is liberated.
Huh?
He is not agitated, he is liberated.
If he is not agitated, he is liberated. Nice. The developed senses. Living entity senses become active when the gross and subtle bodies are developed. Right? So unless the senses of gross body are developed, they will not act on the subtle body. Important. Unless the senses of gross body are developed, they will not act on the subtle body. Means, the subtle body is there. There, some lusty emotion will come when one sees a, what is that, opposite sex. Okay? But that emotion is not developed, even when it is in contact with the opposite sex, that emotion is not developed when the senses are not developed. So eyes are not sufficiently developed to see the beauty, right? A small 2-year-old boy. So the senses will not be agitated. So like that, mind is not agitated. So similarly, because of the absence of desires in the settled body, there may be no development in the gross body. So sometimes, because settled body is not having the desires, so gross body also will not manifest any changes. So both are interconnected. So when both combination is like proper, then the transmigration process will continue, flourish. Right? When the subtle body is having like very nice desires and the gross body is developing to cooperate with those desires, then he will just continue to transmigrate. Okay, next, 73.
Artehya vidyamanepi samsritir nanivartate dhyayato vishayanasya svapne narthagamo yatha.
When the living entity dreams, the sense objects are not actually present. However, because one has associated with the sense objects, they become manifest. Similarly, the living entity with undeveloped senses does not cease to exist materially, even though he may not be exactly in contact with the sense objects.
This is nice. 72nd verse is speaking about undeveloped senses. Undeveloped senses, when the living entity is in with undeveloped senses, he may not act on the sensual platform, but that doesn't mean he is liberated. Right? Inactive senses do not indicate any liberated state. Child may appear innocent, right? But we cannot say he is pure or liberated. As I just now said, just the time, when the time manifests, when the right time comes, he is just ready to act on the sensual platform. So, effect of fruitive activities reserved in the subtle body appear in three concurrent stages. We see from anodi, bija, root, kutastha, desire, phalon mukha, about to fructify, prarabdha, already in action. So in a conscious or unconscious state, the actions of subtle or gross bodies may not be manifest. But such states cannot be called the liberated state. Understood? Nice state. Nice statement. Somebody may be in conscious state or unconscious state. Or the actions of gross body or subtle body may not manifest. Right? But that doesn't mean it's a liberated state. Child may appear innocent, but once he is grown up, he is like he can act. So everything is held in reservation and becomes manifest in due course of time. Like that. So senses act, sometimes senses act even in the absence of sense objects. For a child, because of undeveloped senses, even when he is in touch with sense objects, his senses are not active. And in some other case, for a young man's case, so even if he is not in touch with sense objects, his senses may act. Right? So, just the thought of sweet rice may bring water on his mouth. He is not actually in contact with the sweet rice. Okay, his tongue cannot taste now. But the thought can bring some water in his mouth. So, like that. So, one thing in Uddhava Gita, Krishna says, one sense cannot be controlled by fasting. So, when you fast, all senses become weak. Okay, body becomes so weak. Nirjala Ekadashi day. Okay, fasting becomes so weak. But one sense cannot be controlled, which is tongue. As soon as it's declared its parent time, the tongue will just devour whatever food is given to it. Right? It's just waiting for it. So like that, one sense cannot be controlled by fasting. That is tongue. Or the desire to eat. So some people, I can say with personal experience, so some people are prescribed a certain diet, right? So because of health reasons, they should not eat certain things. But as soon as health becomes proper, and if the doctor declares that you can eat anything and everything now, he just looks forward to eat so many other delicious items, right? So inactive senses do not indicate liberated state. So because of certain patya, he is not eating sweet rice. That doesn't mean he is so sense controlled. As soon as doctor declares, he will eat sweet rice, two bowls, okay, not one bowl also.
That's what this verse is indicating. 1074. Evam panchavidham lingam trivrut shodasa vrishtikam vistritam yesha chetanaya yukto jiva jiva ityabhidhiyate.
The five sense objects, the five sense organs, the five knowledge acquiring senses, and the mind are the 16 material expansions. These combine with the living entity and are influenced by the three modes of material nature. Thus, the existence of the conditioned soul is understood.
So, the five pranas, three gunas, 16 transformations, right, the consciousness, all this combine to form the subtle body of a living entity. Right? The subtle body, mind, buddhi, ahankar, they are like predominant things, but they are influenced by all other things also. So, Prabhupada explains the process of creation in the purport. 75.
Anena purusho dehan upadatte vimunchati harsham sokam bhayam dukkham sukham chanena vindati. By virtue of the process of subtle body, the living entity develops and gives up gross bodies. This is known as the transmigration of the soul. Thus the soul becomes subjected to different types of so-called enjoyment, lamentation, fear, happiness and unhappiness.
So the science of transmigration is explained here. So there are different processes of subtle body. These processes means it undergoes certain things. So living entity is developing gross bodies by virtue of the processes of subtle body. The functioning of subtle body decides his gross bodies. When the mind is polluted by desires for sense gratification, pure soul drops into material condition and starts transmigrating from one gross body to another body. But how to come out of it? By always thinking of Krishna, one can revert to his original spiritual existence. Again and again repeating the same concept. Right? When the mind is polluted by material desires, he will transmigrate. But when he starts thinking of Krishna, Ananya Sintayantam, not that, what is it? Manmanabhava Madhbhakto, that verse is quoted. Then he will revert back to his original consciousness. So, Prabhupada explains the fallacy of modern psychologists. They can study the mind, the actions of mind, thinking, feeling and willing. But they can't go deep. Right? Going deeper means, once you study the actions of mind, thinking, feeling and willing, you should understand what are the consequences. Okay, you cannot be just like a frog in the well. You cannot just be thinking within the bounds of this life only, or this decade only, or this year only. Right? You see the broader perspective. This is the root for future so many gross bodies. Right? That is coming from Bhagavatam or pure devotees. So due to lack of their knowledge and no association with the liberated Acharya, they cannot go deeper. Although they analyze the actions of mind. And people are guided by them, and they also cannot understand the transmigration of soul, the science of transmigration. Unless the human society understands dehinosmin yatha dehe komaram yavanam jara, civilization will not advance, will advance in ignorance only, not in knowledge. Very brilliant saving purposes. Because dehinosmin yatha dehe is a kind of summary of the whole transmigration science. Very important this. So, when the soul is illusioned by Maya, its true nature is covered. Okay? After having identified with something other than the true self, he has to identify himself as a servant of Krishna. This is the real identity. But under the influence of Maya, soul identifies himself with so many other things other than this main real identity. When the soul is influenced by mode of goodness, I'll give this PowerPoint, you need not note down or anything. So when the soul is influenced by mode of goodness, he is forced, the mode of goodness forces him limited happiness on the soul. When the mode of goodness is acting on the soul, it is experiencing some limited happiness. When the mode of passion, it fills the soul with desires by force. Desiring is a influence of mode of passion. Ignorance. So it forces the soul to lament or become angry. These are like different modes are acting on the living entity. So, and the body is driven by these external, internal states. So in ignorance, the soul is experiencing certain lamentation or anger, and the internal state is manifested in the external body. Right? This is how the whole things are functioning. For example, there is a person who is watching a movie.
right? He's seeing the movie, and for 2 or 2.5 hours, when he is watching the movie in the theater, everything is closed, everything is dark, all he could see is only the screen and the hero or heroine or villain or whoever is performing so many activities. Throughout the 2 hours duration, he will identify himself with the hero. The soul will identify himself with the hero. When the soul hero is lamenting, he also is in a state of lamentation. When the hero is happy, he is also in a state of happiness. Right? When the soul is, when the hero is dancing with the heroine, he is also feeling as if he is with the heroine only. Right? When the soul is, when the hero is just being tortured by the villain, put so many obstacles in his path, then he also thinks as if I am going through all this. Right? So, influenced by various modes and influenced by so many emotions, right? The soul who is sitting in the movie hall, right, is identifying himself with the hero. So by the arrangement of Lord's external energy, the movie is done, he comes out of the hall. Then again, he starts identifying himself as so-and-so, some employee in some company, and then some husband or second wife, or the father of a few children, and then again his identity changes. And the force of Maya will drag him to another movie. And then he starts identifying with a new hero, new heroine, and new villain, and new activities. So these are all temporary, just temporary identifications. So basically the soul is captured in the subtle body, and the subtle body is experiencing so many variations, right, because of being in touch with so many other sense objects, and soul is dragged from one place to another place. To end all this, but actually the soul has no connection with the activities of subtle or gross states. Right, they have nothing to do with the soul. Right, to end, but soul is helplessly being dragged by the functionings of subtle and gross bodies, mainly the subtle body. So to stop all this, one has to do devotional service and come out of this. So, for the soul who longs to taste ecstasy in Krishna's association, each successive illusion that the movies are presenting or the Maya is presenting are just a torture. Self-torture. The soul is having an experience of self-torture by having so many experiences in this world. Like that. So to come out of the self-torture, one has to perform devotional service. So one more example, our Narad Muni gives in the 76th verse.
Yathatrana jalukeyam napayatyapayaticha नत्यजेन्म्रियमाणोऽपि प्राग्देहाभिमतीं जनः यावदन्यं न विन्देत व्यवधानेन कर्मणां मन एव मनुष्येन्द्र भूतानां भवभावनम्. The caterpillar transports itself from one leaf to another by capturing one leaf before giving up the other. Similarly, according to his previous work, living entity must capture another body before giving up one he has. This is because the mind is the reservoir of all kinds of desires.
See? So one's next body is based on one's current desires. Right? Because it is the desire-filled mind that carries the soul from one gross body to another body. Desire-filled mind. So how does it happen? Just like a caterpillar goes from one leaf to another leaf. So Vasudeva also, when he is speaking to Kamsa in the first canto, in the 10th canto, first chapter, he uses this analogy. So caterpillar. Transmigration of the soul is compared to the movements of caterpillar. So because of living entity's attraction to the material body and because of too much absorption in material activity, sometimes Prabhupada gives this example. Sometimes politicians, they don't like to leave their posts till the end of their life. They have to be forced either by death or they have to be killed by the enemy, opposite party. Right? Till that point, they will not leave their posts in the political field. Right? Because living entity desires to live even at the time of death, he is forced to accept another body. At the time of death, he is desiring, I want to continue to live, I want to continue to live. Okay, live in a different body. Start again. So, like that. So, new body is already determined by superior control. Sometimes force you to remain in a ghostly body. We discussed this.
the whole thing, mind is the cause of the whole thing. Mind is the villain. Right? But if we read the third canto, we understand false ego is the villain. Mind just is the subservient of false ego. The function of mind is to serve the false ego and protect the false ego. So false ego is the villain. Basically, subtle body is the villain. So, Yamyam Vabhishanan Bhavan Prabhupada gives so many things how mind can be the cause of one's suffering and it can also be the cause of one's happiness also. To enter the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to understand Krishna. The process of understanding Krishna is devotional service. The mind is the cause of such an exalted position. So mind is the cause of transmigration of bodies and soul from one body to another body, and mind is the cause of an exalted position of being the servant of Krishna, original state of soul. 78.
Yadakshais charitan dhyayam karmanyachinute sakrit satikarmanya vidyayam bandhah karmanyanatmanah.
As long as we desire to enjoy sense gratification, we create material activities. When the living entity acts in the material field, he enjoys the senses, and while enjoying the senses, he creates another series of material activities. In this way, the living entity becomes entrapped as a conditioned soul.
So sense gratification creates material activities. Means with a desire for sense gratification, he will engage in so many other material activities. He just continues. The plans of subtle body are recorded in the mind as bija, root of fruitive activities. And he will be caught up in the spiral of karma bandhan. To come out of this karma bandhan, one has to give his activities to Krishna. If one performs his activities for his own sense gratification, that is karma bandhan. But to come out of that karma bandhan, he has to give his activities to Krishna. Vignartha karmanonyata lopoyam karma bandhana tadartham karma bandhe mukta sambha samachara. So one has to perform. How is that happening? How does it happen to come out of karma bandhan? One has to perform activities only to maintain the body and soul together. And the rest of the time, two devotional things. Then no more karma bandhan. Otherwise, there is karma bandhan. If the karma is done, activity is done with an intention with sense gratification, for sense gratification, then there is karma bandhan. Then there is bandhan. Otherwise, release. Last verse. 79.
Atastad abhavadartham bhaja sarvatmana harim pashyamstad atmakam vishvam stityutpatyapyaya yatha.
This cosmic manifestation is created, maintained and annihilated by the will of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, everything within this cosmic manifestation is under the control of the Lord. To be enlightened by this perfect knowledge, one should always engage himself in the devotional service of Lord.
So, Narada Muni is concluding. So, understand that Supreme Lord is creator, maintainer, destroyer, and so he is the supreme controller. He is creating, he is maintaining, he is destroying everything. Means who is in control? Krishna is in control. He is the ultimate supreme controller. So one will understand this fact by performing devotional service. Right? So Lord creates, maintains and annihilates entire material creation. This is the summary of the whole thing. Prabhupada gives nicely one statement. Lord creates, maintains and annihilates entire material creation. We are also part and parcel of the Lord. Everything is under the control of the Lord. And therefore, our only duty is to surrender unto the Lord and engage in His service. So this is the sum and substance of this whole discussion between Prajnabadhi and Narayana. So although apparently he may seem like so much exhaustive description is given, so many other things are given, but ultimately, Narada Muni's intention is to bring him to this point of engaging him in Krishna's devotional service only. So Bhagavatam means no episode is just kept there without ending up in this conclusion. Like that.
So the rest of the chapter will further explain us the glories of this episode.
In association of the pure devotee or any 75 no association with a liberated acharya. Puri in either link between subtle body and coming under the getting a liberated acharya association. Is there any link with subtle body getting a liberated or any diksha guru? Is there any link?
Example. No, you are asking about link. Just now we discussed about the
subtle body coming over the air.
When a person comes in contact with a bona fide guru, right, the person may be having so many desires stored in his subtle body, but by dint of his association with guru or the sincerity with which he follows the instructions of guru, will eventually gradually transform his subtle body, and then he will be liberated at the end of his life. He will go back to Godhead, right? That is the process of coming in touch with guru and getting transformed, right? So what is your by Krishna's mercy he will come in contact with the guru like that. Guru Krishna Prasade Bhaktil Gavi. Karmana Devanetrena, based on the activities of a person, his future births will be decided. So if somebody's devotional service is incomplete now, okay, then he can take birth in a devotee family and then continue from there. Right? If he is just doing so many heinous activities in his life, then according to that, his future life will be decided as the son of some materialist or an animal or a bird or something like that, or a ghost. Right? Yesterday Giriraj Maharaj was explaining in the beginning. So like that. So basically our activities only will decide our future births. That's the whole discussion.
Previous classes probably describe why actually Narad Muni told the story of deer so that he can immediately take to Krishna consciousness and retire, not to wait such a class come back and
correct. Correct.
So is that transmigration what he is saying Narad Muni is also?
He asked the question.
Yeah, question. But
58 verse.
But that actually the deer's analogy ends there only, or
their energy ended in just 3-4 verses he summarizes.
So he was inspired, like I have to leave.
Yeah, he understood. See, we began the lecture in 57th verse. He said, my previous gurus who engaged me in Karmakanda did not know. It seems they don't know this knowledge. We are saying bhakti is supreme and Karmakanda is bogus. Okay, this knowledge is not given by my previous gurus. I am grateful to you. But I have one doubt. Okay? What I understood so far is based on our current activities, our future bodies will be decided, and we will experience this enjoyment or suffering because of our previous activities. How does that happen? My body is already finished. Okay, how can I enjoy or suffer the results of activities that I have committed in a different body in the new body? So, in response to that, he just spoke the whole science of transmigration. So, okay. Consciousness is 75th, 75, 73, 74, you see 74, 5 pranas, 3 gunas, 16 transformations plus consciousness, all this like aggregate forms the subtle body of a person. Okay.
So now we'll quickly go through the last 5-6 verses. So Maitreya is continuing. Bhagavata Mukhyo Bhagavan Bhagavan नारदो हंसयोर्गतिम् प्रदर्श्यह्यमुम् अमन्त्र्य सिद्धलोकं ततो गमत्.
The great Saint Narad has explained to King Prachini Barhi
the constitutional position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity. After giving an invitation to the king, Narad Muni left to return to Siddhaloka.
So Narad Muni told Prachinavarhi, you also come to Siddhaloka, I am going. He invited him. Right? So now 81st verse. So we will just summarize this, we will not recite. So Prachinavarhi, what he did now? He left orders for his sons. He did not wait for Prachetas to come back and take care of the kingdom. He said, oh, my ministers will inform them. Okay, I am leaving orders. So they have to protect citizens nicely. And then he went to Kapilashram. Kapilashram is Ganga Sagar. Right? The place where Ganga and Bay of Bengal meet. So that is the place where Kapila went there. So Prachinavarhi also went there. So Prabhupada gives a nice point in the 81st purport. He says, to rule the mass of citizens in a state and keep them in a complete progressive order is not possible simply by passing laws every year in a legislative assembly. Varnashram is essential for a good government. So a king has to ensure that Varnashram is being followed in his kingdom. So Prachinavarhi, before leaving, he instructed Prachetas, right, through his ministers. He did not even wait for their arrival. He said, you take care of the citizens properly. Okay, make sure that Varnashram is being conducted nicely. Okay, then 82nd verse says how Prachinavarhi performed devotional service and attained liberation. Then the potency of hearing and narrating this kind of episode, which is Prachinavarhi and Narad Muni Samvad, one will be able to attain liberation. 83rd verse. One who hears this narration concerning the understanding of living entity spiritual existence as described by Narada, or one who relates it to others, will be liberated from bodily conception of life. See the benediction given by Maitreya here. Right? So sometimes we feel little bored or not so interested to read or speak on the exhaustive narration of Puranjan. Right? It happens. But this is the potency. So Prabhupada nicely compares this material creation to a dreamland. The material creation is spirit soul's dream. Actually, all existence in material world is a dream of Mahavishnu. The real factual platform is spiritual world. But when the spirit soul wants to imitate the Supreme Lord, he is put into this dreamland of material creation. After being in contact with modes, he develops subtle and gross qualities. And if he is fortunate to associate with a great devotee like Narad Muni, then he will get a chance to come out of this dream world, dream land of material creation. So, 84 further explains the power of this narration. Etan Mukundaya Shasa Bhuvanam Puranam Devar Shivarya Mukhanishrutamatma Saucham Yah Kirtyamanam Adihat Jati Parameshtyam नास्मिन् भवे भ्रमति मुक्त समस्त बंध समन्द्री.
This narration spoken by great Narada is full of transcendental fame of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, this narration, when described, certainly sanctifies this material world. It purifies the heart of living entity and helps him attain his spiritual identity. One who relates this transcendental narration will be liberated from all material bondage and will no longer have to wander within this material world.
This is the potency of this whole episode, which is spanning over 5 chapters. Mukunda Yashasa Bhavanam Puranam. Mukunda, this is just fame of Lord Krishna. Where is the word Krishna coming here? One may wonder. But it is meant for to bring it to the conclusion that you perform devotional service to Krishna. Although Krishna may be coming in the conclusion, okay, still, this whole thing is the Mukunda Yashasham. Bhavanam Puranam, it will purify the material world. And Devarshi Varya Mukhanishrutam Atma Saucham. Devarshi Varya, Devarshi, greatest of the devotees, Mahajan, Narada Muni is spending 5 chapters to describe this episode. It's not ordinary. Right? Atma Saucham, it will purify the heart. Right? Yah Kirtyamanam Adhikachati Parameshtyam. Right? Parameshtyam, he is
generally Brahmaloka, but here Parameshtham is spiritual world. So Yat Kirtyamanam Adhigacchati Parameshtham, by describing this one will go to spiritual world also. So Mukta Samasta Bandha Brahmati, he need not do Brahman in this world, he can just be liberated. Okay. Then 85th verse. 85th verse, again power of Purinjan Elagadi is given. The Elagadi of Purinjan described herein according to authority was heard by me from my spiritual master. And it is full of spiritual knowledge. If one can understand the purpose of this Elagadi, he will certainly be relieved from the bodily conception and will certainly understand life after death. Although one may not understand what transmigration of the soul actually is, one can fully understand it by studying this narration. Okay? We cannot understand transmigration process, but if we study this, then we can understand. So, there are some extra verses. So, Radhikala Prabhu must have spoken this 1A and 2A. But 1B and 2B actually appear after this 79th verse. He didn't spoke? Okay, self-study. So following in his footsteps, I can leave this also for your self-study. 1B and 2B. So according to Viraragavacharya, there are some four extra verses in this chapter. Okay? Two of them will come after 79, two of them will come after 45. Right? These are like extensions. So 79th verse, 1B, okay, this is speaking about preaching and all. Okay, so you can read. Now you have understood the whole thing. So you can definitely understand this also on your own. Okay. Actually, we are going very slow in our syllabus. 6 months means 4 cantos are done. But now we are in 7th month. We are not yet done. We need at least, I think, 2 more classes easily. We have to be a little faster. Huh? And we will take a 5 minutes break and begin the next chapter.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Begin the next chapter. That's where Prachandpur, his episode completes. He goes to Ganga Sagar and performs devotional service and attains Sarupya Mukti.
One small doubt. Arat Muni invited
Prachandpur to Siddhaloka. That's what it means. He was going to Siddhaloka, he also come. What exactly is that? What's mentioned? 81, 82. Okay. Narada Muni is an inhabitant of Siddhaloka. Okay.
81.
80. 80. 80. Yeah.
And Papa
said,
he departed,
and so invited him. Okay. Chapter 30. Vitura uvacha. Yetvaya bhita brahman. Suta prachi nabarhisha. Te rudragite raharim. Siddhim apu pratoshaka.
Vidura inquired from Maitreya, O Brahmana. You formerly spoke about the son of Prachandpur and informed me that they satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead by chanting a song composed by Lord Shiva. What did they achieve in this way?
So now 4.24 chapter describes how Prachetas got an instruction from Prachandpur and they went outside to do some austerities. Then Lord Shiva came and met them. Then he gave them Rudra Gita and they chanted the Rudra Gita under the waters for 10,000 years. Okay. Then after that, Narada Muni just went into the episode of Prachandpur. While they were doing austerities, what was happening with Prachandpur? So he described that for 5 chapters. So now Vidura is again bringing Maitreya Muni back to that topic of Prachetas and ask him what happened to them. Yetena Vikaraman Sutta Prachina Varisha. Te Rudra Gitena Harim Siddhim Apu Pratoshatam. Te Rudra Gitena. They chanted his Rudra Gita. Then Siddhim Apu. What kind of perfection did they achieve? He asked. So Prabhupada explains that the supreme success or the highest perfection, that is Siddhi, is to go back to Godhead. Okay, and not return to this material world and transmigrate here. So Prachetas attained it, and Maitreya will narrate it now, how they were liberated in the next 2 chapters. So, and he not only asked that Siddhi Mabu, what kind of perfection did they achieve? So that was the first question of Vidura. And he also asked, in the material world, what have they done? What are their accomplishments? That he asks in the second verse. Kimbarhaspatyeha paratravatratha Kaivalyanatha priyaparshva Kaivalyanatha priyaparshva vartina Asadya devam girisham yadrichaya Prapuh param nu namatha prachetasa.
My dear Varhaspati, what did the sons of King Barhishat, known as the Prachetas, obtain after meeting Lord Shiva who is very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the bestower of liberation, certainly they were transferred to the spiritual world. But apart from that, what did they obtain within this material world, either in this life or in the other lives?
So Barhaspatya, he mentioned, Barhaspatya is the disciple of Brihaspati, here Maitreya. Then his question is, what did they obtain in this world, in this material world? This is the second question. So Prabhupada explains, they came in touch with Lord Shiva. So Shiva's blessings would generally mean material happiness. So whoever would come in contact with Shiva and take benedictions from Shiva, they generally derive material happiness only. But Prachetas is a different case. So because the Lord Shiva is the husband of Durga, who is the predominating deity of this material world, Shiva can very well bestow material benedictions, material happiness to his worshippers. But here, these people, Prachetas, did not approach Shiva for any material benedictions. On top of it, Shiva himself approached them, not that they approached them. Right? Shiva himself approached them because Yah Param Brahmasa Sakshat Triguna Jiva Sangita Bhagavantam Vasudevam Prapanna Sapriyohini. So because you have decided to worship Lord Vasudeva, so I have come to meet you, right? I have come to give you my guidance. So simply by chanting Rudrakita, Prachetas were transferred to the spiritual world, Prabhupada explains. So going to the spiritual world means no distress. Distress and happiness obtained during the lifespan is called Iha, and obtained in the next life are Paratra. So Iha, Para. So they are asking both. Vidura is asking about the Iha and Para of Prachetas. Sometimes devotees desire material happiness also. So by Supreme Personality of Godhead's arrangement, they are given a chance to enjoy material world before their factual entrance into the spiritual world. That is another point. Now, but pure devotees never aspire for material happiness. Okay, they just want to go to the spiritual world only and directly serve the Lord. Then third verse, Maitreya is responding to the third verse. Maitreya uvacha
prachetasvantar udadho पितुर आदेशकारिण जपयज्ञेन तपसा पुरंजनमतोषयन्।
The great sage Maitreya said, the sons of King Prachinavari, known as the Prachetas, underwent severe austerities within the sea water to carry out the order of their father. By chanting and repeating the mantras given by the Lord Shiva, they were able to satisfy Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So, japayagnyena tapasaha puranjanam atoshayam. Here puranjanam is not the puranjan in the previous chapter. His puranjan is Supreme Personality of God. Right? So, puranjanam atoshayam, they satisfied him. How? Japayagnyena, by chanting mantras. What is the mantra given by Rudra? So, nice purpose, Prabhupada writes, easiest way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of God at Puranjan is to offer prayers given by devotees. Right? One can offer prayers to the Lord directly, but if one repeats the prayers offered by great devotees like Rudra Gita, Brahma Samhita or other things like that, so if one follows the footsteps of great personalities, one can please Supreme Personality of God very easily. So pure devotee never attempts to reach the Supreme Lord directly. Most important way to worship the Lord is to go through the disciplic succession of devotees. So now, this purport, Prabhupada is nicely emphasizing, repeating the prayers of great devotees. However, Prabhupada himself also said that we can offer personal prayers also. But they have to be in line with the pure devotee's prayers. So the spirit, we can learn how to offer prayers from the pure devotees and offer our personal prayers also. Right? It's not disgracing us in any way to offer a personal prayer. Right? So, Bhurjan Prabhu says, although this is true, pure devotee is just repeating the prayers of pure devotees will make us will allow us to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is true. Still, Gurudev Prabhu says, mechanical repetition does not allow one to either understand or enter the mood of great souls. Mechanically chanting Rudra Gita, mechanically chanting Brahma Samhita is not what is being recommended here. Prayer should be recited with attention, because that allows the words of great souls to affect us. So the prayers will have an influence on the person who is repeating them only if he does it with attention, not with not like mechanically, right, or ritualistically. And Prabhupada, even in the Gajendra episode 8.3, he says, you better chant some sotra, some prayers, Narasingha Arati or Brahma Samhita, like that. In some life or the other life, they will come to your rescue. Krishna mercifully gives you the remembrance of those prayers that you have memorized in some previous life, and that will save you. So Gajendra, Indrajumna, Gajendra remembered certain mantras, okay, certain prayers. So when crocodile was catching him, Gajendra remembered all those prayers and started offering them to the Supreme Lord. Right? And Krishna came and then protected Gajendra. So Prabhupada encouraged in that context also. So Krishna gives the remembrance of our previous devotional activities we performed in our previous lives. So then, in a particular time of danger, so that mantra will come to our rescue. So there are some standard elements in Vandanam book. Satsuru Maharaj, he explains nicely. There are four standard elements in a prayer. One, praise. Praise means it will have some philosophical import. So in your prayer contains a glorification. So some philosophical aspects are there in the praise. Second element is thanksgiving, expressing our gratitude. Thanks. Okay, you are so merciful to me. So that kind of gratitude, recognizing the favors that the Lord has done upon us. The third element is requests. A devotee who is in need will say, I need something. So for example, Gajendra was in need. He needed protection. So he put that request. And last thing is asking forgiveness. Definitely we must have committed so many offenses or mistakes, so we can ask forgiveness. These are the four standard elements of a prayer. So pure devotees' prayers many times have these four elements. So one can offer a personal prayers also with these four elements. We can learn the formula of offering prayer. Formula means whatever, the process of offering prayer to the Supreme Lord, and we can also offer a personal prayer. So here Prabhupada is encouraging us to offer, repeat your devotees' prayers, scriptural prayers. Right? But prayers can be of two types or three types. One is spontaneous prayers out of devotion. Right? Just revealing one's mind and heart to Krishna. Then scriptural prayers, like Rudra Gita, etc. Then chanting Hare Krishna. Third one. So basically personal prayer is a confidential revealing of one's mind to Krishna in conversation. Right? It's not like a prepared or memorized statements, but speaking spontaneously. But the main theme of that prayer is one's desire to render service to Krishna. Right? And not necessarily be attempted by an advanced devotee. Even a practitioner also can attempt to offer a personal prayer. Right? So one Prabhupada himself says that our prayers are like babies. They may be in a broken language. They may not be like perfect poetry or chandas like the Shastric prayers given here. They may be like broken words of a baby. But after all, we are all children of Krishna. So he likes to hear our babyish language. So Prabhupada says, while encouraging us to offer personal prayers. So, and Prabhupada also says that no sincere prayers will go in vain. Right? Whether they may be in Sanskrit or English or Telugu or whatever. So here, one more point here is living entity and Supreme Personality of Godhead both are puranjanas, because they both stay in the body of a living entity. Like that. So, yeah. Supreme Personality of Godhead creates the material world, and he also enters within it, within the hearts of living entities as an atom. That's why he is called puranjan. So both living entity and Lord can be called as puranjan. So the difference is, both may be called puranjan, but this puranjan is different from that puranjan. Because this living entity puranjan
it is affected, it is attached to the material body. But the Supreme Lord Puranjan, he is not attached to the material body. Although both are staying in the material body only. Okay? Just close to each other. So, a pure devotee, by dint of his connection with Krishna, he is also not affected by this material body. That is it. Ihaya sehara dasa, na adar na. Eta dishana vishasya, prakriti stopi tadgunai. Na yujyate sadatmaste sada tadbhava bhavita. Just like Supreme Lord, although he is in contact with material energy, he is not affected by it. Similarly, pure devotee is also not affected. So the duty of subordinate Puranjana is to satisfy the Supreme Puranjana. So living entity should serve Krishna in devotional service. Fourth verse. Dashavarsha sahasrante purushastu sanatana tesham avirabhut krutram shantena samayam ruca.
At the end of 10,000 years of severe austerities performed by the prachetas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to reward their austerities, appeared before them in his very pleasing form. This appealed the prachetas and satisfied the labor of their austerities.
So they will do so much tapasya, austerity, to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the theme of the purport is austerities are done to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not anything else. So tapa or austerity means voluntarily accepting some inconvenience or self-punishment for a higher purpose. Right? Or austerity means giving pain to oneself to give pleasure to Krishna. Right? Accepting some inconvenience so that we can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? They satisfied the labor of their austerities. Okay? This appealed to the prajatas and satisfied the labor of their austerities. Because the Supreme Lord reciprocated. This tapa counteracts tapa. Right? The purpose of austerity is to please Krishna, and when we please Krishna, then we will not be experiencing any material distress. Like that. So that's why Jesus said, Arajito Edihari Tapasatakim Narajito Edihari Tapasatakim. If the austerity should be done in a mood to please Krishna. Otherwise the austerity has no meaning. That's the most important. And what? And austerity is of two types. One, done for our own personal improvement, right, advancement. Second, done for the welfare of others. Right, these two kinds of austerities are mentioned. So, this in the 8th canto, this very nice verse comes. When Shiva just accepted poison from the Samudra Manthan just to protect all the demigods. Right? So Sukadeva Goswami says, Tapyante lokatapena lokatapena sadhava prayasho jana paramaradhanam tadhi purushasya akhilatmana. Tapyante lokatapena. Right? Great souls, great personalities, tapyante, they almost always accept voluntary suffering. Lokatapena, because of the suffering of people in general. So to protect all these demigods from this burning poison, Lord Shiva took the inconvenience of drinking that poison and holding it here. Right? That is, if we do some austerity for the welfare of others, then that will be very pleasing to the Krishna, pleasing to Krishna. Paramaradhanam taddi, that is the topmost form of worshipping the Supreme Lord, is preaching. Accepting some inconvenience for the welfare of other people. The greatest welfare of other people is what? To bring them to Krishna consciousness. Right? To bring people to Krishna consciousness, if one performs some austerity, that is very pleasing to Krishna. That is about austerity. Now here they perform some austerity. Why did the prachetas perform austerity? What was the mood in which Prachinabarhi had sent prachetas to do austerities? To go to come back and rule the spiritual, rule the kingdom, right, properly, right, for the welfare of citizens, like that. And there are many other reasons which we discussed earlier in the Durgita. One more point here, Dasavarsha Sahasrante, 10,000 years. They have performed austerities for 10,000 years. Then the Lord came.
and gave them darshan. So somebody may question, why 10,000 years? Lord took 10,000 years to respond or what? Is there any deficiency in their practice? Or are we meant to understand that the Supreme Lord is independent, okay, in avoiding bhakti? Okay, we cannot question it. Should we understand like that? Or does the Lord value any austerities? Or he likes people to win him by their own, by great efforts? That's why he waited for 10,000 years. So all these kind of questions may arise in somebody's mind. But Bhurjan Prabhu gives a simple answer. They are from a different age. In that age, people used to live for 1 lakh years. Right? So compared to 1 lakh years, 10,000 is not much. Their 10,000 is our 10. So we live 100 years. So if we just do 10 years of austerity and Krishna comes in front of you, is it not a good thing? Right? Do you blame Krishna for coming in front of you just in 10 years? Then we cannot blame Krishna now also. So our 10,000, our 10 is their 10,000. So that is a simple answer. So, and nice point Prabhupada says, in material world, if one is successful after hard labor, he is very pleased. Similarly, devotee forgets all labors and austerities as soon as he contacts Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here Prachetas did austerities underwater for 10,000 years. But as soon as the Supreme Lord came in front of them, they just first didn't question, why are you so late? Why are you so late? Okay, are you not understanding what we are going through? They didn't say that. They are just completely satisfied by seeing the Lord's reciprocation. So we may just work so much, so hard for some festival, Janmashtami. Different devotees are working in different ways. Somebody is in pandal management, somebody is cooking prasadam for thousands of people. Right, somebody is in the DT department doing arranging for Abhishek for so many pots of milk, this and that, Charamrit. Okay, somebody is doing some other service, all the maintenance team, sound system team, so many people are working. But all the hard work is forgotten. Okay, all that hard work and austerity is converted into satisfaction and pleasure. Once the festival is complete and once all the guests and devotees who visited the temple had a nice spiritual experience. Then, right? That's what Prabhupada is explaining here. So Prachetas were satisfied after darshan of Vishnu. So all the hard labor is forgotten. And one more point Prabhupada says, we cannot do so many austerities, like 10,000 years underwater, because we are Kali Yuga products. Valmiki did 60,000 years of austerities. But Kali Yuga, all we have to do is just chant Hare Krishna. Right? One can attain same result simply by chanting Hare Krishna. Because the people of this age are fallen, Lord is kind enough to give easiest method. Right? If all students in a classroom are scholars, then the question paper standard has to be high. If they are all tellers, the pass mark has to be reduced. The kind of questions asked by the examiner also have to be toned down, right? To a smaller thing. So for you, I memorize 3-4 verses in a day. Bhakti Shastri means something else. So like that. See, similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reduced the pass mark for Kali Yuga people. 5th verse. Suparnaskandamarudho Verushrangam Ivambhuva Pitavasa Manigriva Kurvan Vitimiradisha.
The personality of Godhead appearing on the shoulder of Garuda seems like cloud resting on the summit of the mountain known as Meru. The transcendental body of the personality of Godhead was covered by the attractive yellow garments and his neck was decorated with a jewel known as Kaustubha Mani. The bodily effulgence of the Lord dissipated all the darkness of the universe.
Good for reading very fast. So you have to move fast now. I'll take 10 more minutes. I want to give the introduction before the Prachetas prayers. So we'll be a little delayed today. Okay. So next verse, 6th. Kasishtuna kanakavarna vibhushanena
Brajatkapolavadano vilasatkirita
Ashtayudhairanucharair munibhir surendrair
ಆಶೇಮಿತೋ ಗರುಡ ಕಿನ್ನರ ಗೀತ ಕೀರ್ತಿ.
The Lord's face was very beautiful and his head was decorated with a shining helmet and golden ornaments. The helmet was dazzling and was very beautifully situated on his head. The Lord had 8 arms which each held a particular weapon. The Lord was surrounded by demigods, great sages and their associates. These were all engaged in his service. Garuda, the carrier of the Lord, glorified the Lord with Vedic hymns by flapping his wings. Garuda appeared to be an inhabitant of the planet known as Kinnarloka.
So after the Lord came, his nice, pleasing appearance, description is given in 5, 6 and 7 verses. Beautiful description. So 5th verse speaks about the bodily effulgence.
Kurvan vitimira disha. Timira is darkness. Vitimira disha means he made all the directions free from darkness, just by appearing there. So that is the greatness of Lord's bodily effulgence. The Prabhupada says, origin of life is the body of the effulgence of Supreme Lord. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti. Right? So, all these descriptions of Lord's forms are very important for the personalists. Because personalists believe that Lord has a form. Right? And that is very beautiful. Right? And this beautiful form of the Lord is what the living entity is looking for millions of lifetimes. Right? So, all these descriptions have to be read nicely and relished nicely. So Prabhupada brings out one point from this whole description, that is, Lord is a person. He is a person. Right? Kasishnuna Kanakavarna Vibhushanena. He is a person decorated and his form is decorated with beautiful ornaments. Brajat Kapola Vadano Vilasat Kirita. Here he is forehead is decorated with beautiful dazzling kirita, crown, ashta ayudhe. He is holding 8 weapons in his 8 hands. Anucharai, and he is having so many associates. Munibhir Surendrai Aveshito Garuda Kinnara Gita Kirti, and all these associates and demigods and sages, they came with him and started glorifying the Supreme Lord. Whenever the Lord comes, this is the majesty of his appearance. So, all these people, prachetas, were meditating on which form? Four-handed form. Snigdha pravridhanasyamam sarvasandarya sangraham charvayata chaturbahu sujatar chirarnam. And he is coming with 8-handed form. What is extra 4 arms here? So, Jiva Goswami explains, that I have not appeared at this time to bestow on what you have desired. I have come here only to console you. Right, with my appearance. With my descent, I just wanted to console you. I am not just here to just give whatever you are desiring. That's how Jiva Goswami explains. No further questions. So, and since Lord is the supreme controller, whatever is in his hand can be considered a weapon. One more explanation. Virragavacharya explains that conch shell and lotus are also weapons. They are accepted as weapons. Ashta ayudhair. Although the Lord is holding conch shell and lotus, the verse describes that ashta ayudhair. There are 8 weapons. There are only 6 weapons and 2 are like just conch shell and lotus. But Virragavacharya says, no, they can also be accepted as weapons. Okay? So, king is always accompanied by his ministers, secretaries and commanders, and Vishnu is accompanied by his followers, demigods, great sages, saintly persons, etc. But he is never alone. Consequently, there is no question of Lord being impersonal, and his associates are also persons. Not only his associates are persons, his weapons are also persons. This lotus is a person. Chakra is a person. This club is a person. If we read the 6th canto, Narayana Kavach. Narayana Kavach is the hymn recited by Vishwaroop. Right? So by reciting Narayana Kavach, Indra, then Indra got his opulences back. Right? Narayana Kavach, there is one part where the prayer, there are different prayers offered to Lord's weapons also. Recently somebody was sharing with me, once Samal Krishna Maharaj was offering prayers in Juhu temple. Right, in front of Sitaram.
Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman, that deity says, he's offering grace. Somebody asks him, what are you praying? Whom are you praying to? Four personalities standing there. So Tamal Krishnamurti said, I'm offering prayers to the weapons of Lord Ram. Why? What is this strange thing? Then he said, I'm going to fight a court case. So I need empowerment from the weapons of the Lord. So weapons are also persons. Right? Lord's holy name, transcendental form, carriers, all weapons decorated him are personal associates protecting our intelligence, senses, mind, life, air and everything. Right? From all dangers. So Narayan Kavach is the prayer offered to various associates and weapons of the Lord for protection. Like that. So there is nothing material in the spiritual world and there is nothing impersonal in the spiritual world. Okay, then beauty of Lord's creation, Prabhupada explains, Jagadanda Koti. In each universe, there are different types of planets. Each has distinctive features. For example, here Kinnaraloka is mentioned. So Kinnaraloka, there are inhabitants like Garudas. Garuda means human being with wings. That is the physical form of Kinnaralokas. So they can just fly anywhere they want. That is Kinnaraloka. Siddhaloka means they will fly without wings also. Regardless, it just flies. Then next verse. Tinayatashta bhujamandara madhya lakshmiya. Vriddhasriya parivrito vanamala yadhya. Barhishmata purusha ahasutan prapannan. Parjanyanadarutaya sagrinavaloka.
Around the neck of the personality of God and a flower garland that reached to his knees. His eight stout and elongated arms were decorated with the garland, which challenged the beauty of the goddess of fortune. With a merciful glance and a voice like thunder, the Lord addressed the son of King Prachini Bharishi, who was very much a surrender unto him.
So, Parjanya Nada Rutaya Sagranava Loka. Parjanya Nada. Parjanya is cloud. Nada means sound. Parjanya Nada means sound of cloud. What is it? Thunder. He is speaking like as if thunder is coming out. And Sagranava Loka. It is very merciful glance. Merciful glance and thunderous voice. Combination. That can happen only with Supreme Lord. And the whole purport is centered around the theme that absolute truth is a person. Prabhupada quotes various things. Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. Anadiradir Govinda, Janmadhyaya Sataha, so all that. Then, with this appearance, Lord came there. Now, he is speaking. Eighth verse. Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Varam Vriniham Bhadram Vo, Yuyam Me Nrupanandana, Sauhardena Prithak Dharmas, Tushtoham Sauhrudenava.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear sons of King, I am very much pleased by your friendly relationship among you. All of you are engaged in one occupation, devotional service. I am so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now you may ask a benediction of me.
So, Supreme Lord here is pleased with the unity of his devotees. Varam Vriniham Bhadram Vo Yuyam Me Nrupanandana Sauhurdena. You are all Sauhurdena. Sauhurdena is friendship. Then Tushtoham Sauhurdena. I am pleased with your friendship. I am very much pleased with your friendly relationships. Right? They are all very friendly with Krishna in center. Perfect combination. People may be friendly without Krishna in center. All Kauravas were friendly amongst themselves. They were not fighting amongst each other. There was no fight between Dushyasana and Duryodhana. Right? But they were not keeping Krishna in center. Right? You are pleased and you are, there is unity in Krishna consciousness. Like that. Brilliant purport. Each and every line is very important here. One of the important purports of the fourth canto. Prabhupada explains what is real unity. Each and every one of Prachetas was an individual soul, but they were united in offering transcendental service to the Lord. The unity of individual souls attempting to satisfy the Supreme Lord or rendering service to the Lord is real unity. So, unity is not just agreeing with each other. The real unity is agreeing with each other in serving Krishna. Right? Attempting to satisfy Krishna. So, Pandavas are also united. In spite of so many differences of opinion, they all agree to one common point, pleasure to Krishna. So coming together with a higher principle in mind. So glorifying Krishna, serving Krishna. So Gauranga gives this nice example. When expert musicians come together and play all instruments and sing very harmoniously, then what comes out is very pleasing to hear. But sadhakas, it's a different case. Right? When sadhakas come together, there is an ego clash. Right? When pure devotees come together, then there is a progress in service of Krishna. Like that. So, sadhaka level means it's like that only. We have to slowly come out, raise above these egoistic clashes. Like that. The greatest austerity in Krishna consciousness is to cooperate with sadhakas, co-sadhakas. And the greatest austerity in Kali Yuga is to tolerate the onslaught of our false egos. When the neophyte sadhakas are coming together, then there are ego clashes, right? There are differences of opinions because of pride and other things, attachment to one's own opinions. Mm-hmm. So greatest austerity in this Kali Yuga is to come together and practice. Right? Prabhupada says, in material world, though people may officially unite, they all have different interests. That is United Nations. Prabhupada gives example. We have an example from 9th canto, Devayani and Sarmishta. Before entering the lake, you know this pastime anyways, right? Before entering the lake to take bath, they were friendly. Right? But both were thinking inside that I am superior to the other. Sarmishta was thinking, I am superior to Devayani. Because Devayani and Sukracharya and all these brahmanas, they are just living under our mercy. And we are their protectors. I am from that Kshatriya race. And Devayani, Devayani was thinking that Sarmishta is like inferior to me. Because her father is coming and bowing down in front of my father. Right? So they just artificially took the positions of their fathers and started thinking that they are superior to the other. Right? And as soon as they came out of water, just the clothes got exchanged, and one ego clash, they became lifelong enemies. So far, before entering the lake, their friendship, they were friends, and their friendship was based on feeling that I am superior to the other, to my friend. But as soon as the superiority is just revealed, and when there is ego clash, friends become enemies. Right? That kind of friendship is not very much appreciated. Karna and Duryodhana also came together. Right? Karna just wanted, Karna is a typical example of attention seeking tendency, or recognition seeking tendency. Right? People crave for recognition and respect and appreciation. So Karna is looking for it. Nobody was giving it to him. So Duryodhan gave it. I will make you king. And Duryodhan was in need of a person who can defeat the Pandavas, especially Arjuna. So their relation was also with ulterior motive. As Prabhupada says, they unite with different interests. These people have different interests. Right? So ulterior motives in a relationship will disgrace that relationship. And higher purpose in a relationship will bring glory to that relationship. What is that higher purpose? To please Krishna, to please Rama. Vibhishan came together with monkey soldiers. Right? Relation was to serve Lord Rama. Prabhupada says, disunity between individual souls is so strong within material world that even in a society of Krishna consciousness, members sometimes appear disunited due to their having different opinions and leaning towards material things. Even within Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be two opinions. Right? There is only one goal, to serve Krishna to the best of one's ability. Right? To one's best ability, he will serve Krishna. This is the only opinion that everyone should have. Right? So, if there is some disagreement over service, such disagreement has to be taken as spiritual purposes. So, I mean, we cannot, when we are neophyte sadhakas, we cannot disagree with our co-friend and say this is spiritual. So our disagreement is spiritual. That is ego clash. Right? Prabhupada is speaking about an ideal, the way I understood it is, it's an ideal way of disagreement within Krishna consciousness, is to have, to serve Krishna. Right? There may be difference of opinions in regards to the details of how a service can be done. Okay, somebody may say we have to stitch an yellow dress for Vrindavan Bihari. Somebody may say we have to stitch red dress for this festival. Right? But both agree to the point that we have to stitch a dress to Vrindavan Bihari on some festival. Getting? So the flavor of the quarrel or disagreement will change. But both parties will agree to the point that we have to serve Krishna. Right? So that kind of disagreement. But at the neophyte sadhaka level, some kind of ulterior motives and some kind of other things, leaning towards material things, will come into picture. Right? So, basically, differences among Vaishnavas, advanced Vaishnavas, have to be seen as variety, not as contradiction. Right? And two acharyas, or two advanced devotees, are having a different opinion on the same aspect, then that is variety. So this can be done this be like this also, this can be done like that also. This can be understood in this way also, this can be understood in that way also. This can be seen in this perspective also, this can be seen in that perspective also. This is all variety. Okay, when different advanced devotees are giving different opinions, that is variety. No contradictions. Right? That happens in the material, that happens in the struggling sadhaka level. Material things. So, for example, what example I took? Leaning towards material things, you have certain ulterior motive. Even while doing your service, you have certain ulterior motive. Right? For example, you may be doing, say, backup, right? Assistant pujari service. Okay? Your in charge is telling you to do Rajbhog backup. Okay? You are saying, I will do Sringarbha Arati backup only. Why? Because Sringarati backup sweet is more delicious than Rajbhog sweet. Okay? Although the whole thing is spiritual service only, we have set in something like that. One small example. Okay. Unity in devotees inspires Supreme Personality of Godhead to give benedictions. One more point, Prabhupada says. Those who are actually engaged in spiritual Lord service cannot be disunited in any circumstance. So that's this unity. One point, it pleases the Supreme Lord. Second point, it inspires him to give benedictions. When there is real unity amongst devotees, it makes the Supreme Lord very happy, then he is willing to award all kinds of benediction to the devotee. Example is prachitas. So that is cooperation. So cooperation is one of the most difficult austerities devotees must perform in Kali Yuga. And cooperation is one of the most important subjects that Prabhupada spoke on before leaving the body. So Ramakrishna Maharaj says, Prabhupada emphasized that your love for me will be tested. How after my departure you maintain this institution? Okay. So in Himayapur room conversation also Prabhupada emphasized on cooperation. So Supreme Lord, Lord Chaitanya is God, Krishna himself. But still he is feeling alone, okay, to just spread the movement. He is depending on everyone. So depending on so many people means they all should cooperate with this one higher principle in mind. So this is, Prabhupada gives this definition of Sankirtan. Sankirtan means many people coming together, combining together and chanting. So I think we'll end here. I didn't complete the introduction. That will go till 21st verse. But tomorrow we'll do it. Thank you all very much. Rantarashana Bhagavan V. Srila Prabhupada. Questions I will send you. Thank you. Do you want to add anything? Correct anything? Tomorrow we'll have class at 10 o'clock. We'll